Index Podcast. What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the Up Next Podcast. It's your host, Victor Castaldo, and my guest today is a very special guest, my brother-in-law, Sakar Mullins. How you doing today?
What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm glad you could make it up. So how you been doing, man?
I'm all right, you know, taking it day by day. You know, it's difficult times for everybody. 2020 is a little bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just got to, you know, roll with the punches like any other year, you know?
So how do you stay positive in times like these and even think about creating and stuff like that?
You know, here's the thing. Like, really, 2020 hasn't really changed much for me because I stay at home most of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't really mess around with a lot of people, you know what I mean, besides, like, people who I know of anyway.
Yeah.
I go to work, come home, you know what I mean? I'm a little bit relaxed off the music scene, but most of the time, like, my day-to-day pretty much stays the same. If I need to go out and do something, you know, putting on a mask is not a problem because it's only, like, 10 or 15 minutes of my time.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of that stuff is not a problem for me, like, you know what I mean? So most of the stuff that happens is, like, it just is what it is. That's how I think of it. I just keep creating and doing stuff and, you know, actually, the best thing that gets me through these times is cartoons. Cartoons are lovely.
What cartoons do you watch?
We watch with my kids now. We are on. We just got done with Avatar from back in the day from off of Nickelodeon.
Okay.
Because I never got a chance
to
watch it.
The show?
Yeah. Okay. That's dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just got a chance to watch it with the kids, and I got them hooked on that. So they're like, ooh. I get them hooked on all the cartoon stuff.
Where did you watch it? Was it just on the Nickelodeon channel?
It was on Netflix.
Just, oh, really?
Yeah, just regular stuff. And mostly, like, I try to, you know what I mean? Like, they're young, so they don't really get most of it. They like all the fighting and stuff.
Yeah, the action.
Yeah. But, like, what I like about, I always tell them, like, you're supposed to, like, learn something every time you watch anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, since I didn't see Airbender before, I'm like, oh, they got, like, stuff about chakras and, you know, balance and yin and yang. And, you know what I mean? Like, stuff that people don't really, you know, pick up on.
Right.
Especially kids during that point in time. But as a grown up watching it, lovely. So, keeps my mind off of everything.
That's interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit of background about, you know, people who don't know about you, when, you know, maybe when you started making music, what got you into music?
So I've been doing music pretty much since I've been like 8 or 7 years old. Like, I first started, my dad bought me a guitar and took me to lessons and made me practice like an hour a day. I was so sick of playing guitar. Yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah, same thing happened to me when I was a kid. When they make you do it, it's like,
It's the most horrible thing. Yeah. Like, why are you making me stay in my room for an hour?
Yeah.
But I'm glad it did that because it got me into writing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to do stuff with band as far as I used to play like in the little junior high band. Trombone and stuff like that. And then after that, I'm like, okay, so I understand like how to write like, you know, like parts.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, like treble clef, bass clef. So different parts and stanzas and all this other kind of stuff. So then I started getting into like, maybe I want to do some keyboard stuff because at that point in time, I was probably like about 13 or 14. So, you know, hip hop is becoming like this really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe I could take my knowledge that I have from all this music stuff and put it in here. Because mostly at that point in time, when I was younger, when I started listening to hip hop, I started listening to it like since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was like probably like about 1980 or so.
Okay.
So I've always been a hip hop head so I grew up with it.
Right.
And most of it was all samples to begin with. Most of it was like sampling James Brown. Using other people's music.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I'm like, maybe I can introduce some musicality to it. And that's what I started doing. So I started just writing songs. And even though life kept going on, I still kind of kept my ear to the street as far as music goes doing stuff with different people. And most of the time, whenever I was with people, my idea was being the forefront. I've always been a background dude and always trying to do production and,
yeah, you know, I'm the same way.
Yeah, get things together on that front. So I always started doing that. And then I remember the day I actually got my first keyboard and I got my first little multi-track recorder.
Yeah.
I was like staring at this shit for like months.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I'm going to get this and how am I going to save up for it? It's like, $300.
Yeah.
And I was working at that point in time, you know, I was like maybe like 20 or something like that, or 19. So I'm like, okay, I gotta come up with this money for do this. And so I got a keyboard and I had my guitar still and a drum machine. I had a Boss, that's a DR660, I'm sorry, and like a Boss DR5.
So what are some of the artists that had inspired you when you're mentioning that you listen to music or hip hop, you know, in the 80s, which is pretty early 80s, is almost when it started, you know, late 70s.
Yeah.
So who are some of those artists that you were really listening to?
So when I first started listening to hip hop, probably like around 80, and you got to remember there's like a time lag. So like everything wasn't instant.
Yeah, it wasn't so, digital.
It wasn't like you had to wait for an album to be pressed and then...
Had the money to buy it.
And then, like, not everybody carried everything at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like...
That'd be interesting, honestly.
it was, actually. That means you just really had to hunt for things.
It's more valuable, almost, because it was like...
Oh, yeah.
You could just have it.
Yeah, like, that is a part of music that was so different, because you had to, like, actually, like, had to hunt for stuff to find it.
Right.
And, but, actually, my first thing that we... But it's probably like when I was probably like six or so was Curtis Blow the Breaks, and that was the first album that I had. And that was like just so dope because it was just you just flowed for so long and it was just you know this party music and like they didn't really say nothing pretty much, but it was just fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as you keep going and you keep going down this rabbit hole, like who else raps?
Yeah.
And then the next thing I get into is Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five.
Mm-hmm.
And that album was called The Message. And they had some other albums before then, but that was the one that I got. And
they had
the song A Message on there. And that was dope because you have this song that has this cool beat. It's like, you know, you could dance to it, actually. But you could also, there's like a story. And there's also, like, you have storytelling, then you have people who are actually talking about real problems.
Right.
And then you have like so many different perspectives on just urban living.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing else that I had known at that point in time, especially being that young, that actually delved into problems and made it entertaining. And I'm like, wow, so hip hop can do this as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what really kind of turned me on. So like when I was earlier as a kid, I was kind of geared toward that kind of music that was more positive.
Yeah.
Because it, you know what I mean? There's so more things to talk about. You know what I mean? A lot of music makes you dance and it's cool, but the rare stuff, the good stuff is the stuff that actually has a message.
So it's that's like relatable.
Yeah.
But entertaining at the same time. And...
Right, right. It's entertaining, but yet, you know what I mean? Like there's still something that you can get from it.
Yeah.
You know? Just like I kind of teach my kids like the same thing with the cartoons. Same as that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, let me go into my top five because that's always fun.
Yeah.
So like, going from that, probably like my top five, probably going, and I can do mine in order.
Okay.
So I can do top one is KRS-One automatically, just because that is the teacher, and that was the first person I knew of that battled and like you know kind of won, and also was very very smart.
Yeah.
And had a different perspective on life besides just, you know what I mean, just like regular, you know what I mean, just regular anything. Everything was like so different.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of like how people that I knew who grew up, like my dad and uncles and cousins, how like everyone used to talk. It was just, you know what I mean, kind of like in our circle, but it was on music.
Yeah.
Next, I would say Nas. You know, now I'm not saying that now just because he just put an album out, but seriously, I've always been a Nas fan just because that flow is just so cool. I would say like Rakim off of that, but like Nas does it a completely different way that I get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably after Nas would be Black Thought.
Okay.
And I've been a Roots fan since the Roots came out. So like I'm not a bandwagon person like watching him like rap for like 10 minutes straight freestyle, like I already knew he could do that.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of like just timing. So like those three. And then after that, I would say Ice Cube is my favorite just because that's the person who just said, you know what? All rules aside, we're just going to talk about everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we're going to just completely.
Didn't dress it up and didn't worry about.
Don't dress it up. You know what I mean? Just keep it raw. Yeah. All feelings, everything is in there.
Yeah.
And then I would say after that, I would say Too Short.
I like that pick.
Yes, Too Short because, and here's the thing, like people don't like Too Short and put him on their top five, but because he's not the most like versatile as far as skilled. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he only had like a couple of different subjects. He's talking about, you know what I mean? Like whatever he talked about.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like the way he does like the whole thing, like this dude start selling tapes out of his trunk of his car.
Yeah.
Like, and became a millionaire. Like, no one else is that I knew of at that point in time did such a thing.
Yeah.
And just from doing, you know what I mean? Like, it taught me a couple of different things from Too Short, like about being sustainable. Mm. Like, you can have a career and sustain things in hip hop as far as just like what you write about.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have to be negative.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know what I mean? True. Some of the stuff was stories, some of it was made up, but
yeah,
it was all consistent.
Yeah.
The music was always good. And if you had those two things and you're on your hustle, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah,
so,
I
like,
agree.
Yeah. So those are like my five favorite people.
Have you seen any of them in concert?
I have seen none of those people in concert. I seen Nas. We went to Yeah. Me and my wife went to go see Nas. He was performing with Maxwell. We went to go see Nas. And that was probably about 3 years ago.
Where was that?
That was New York. It was the first time I went to New York. Well, it was in a Barclays Center. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. We had whatchamacallit, like seats all the way up at the top.
Nosebleed
seats. Yes, couldn't see a thing. But like I knew all the songs.
Yeah,
so
if you can hear it, you're good.
What was the first hip hop concert I went? First hip hop concert I went to, I want to say is probably, Cypress Hill.
Really?
Yeah. That was crazy because, and I always like telling this story. So like with Cypress Hill, we went to this concert and it was me and my brother and a couple other friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Cuban and Hispanic and all this other kind of stuff. So we all hip hop fans and we all like Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
So we go and, you know, on the flyer, they show who is with and it shows these names. We don't know who they are. So we just figuring that they're just opening acts.
Yeah.
We didn't, it's other hip hop acts. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
So when we go there, we look and it's a different crowd. Now, you got to understand that this most of the time, like I only hung around with Black and Mexican people.
Yeah.
So we come in, it's all white people. We like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit different from my head. So it was a little bit of a mind opening me, like more people listen to this than just us.
Yeah.
And then, so a rock group comes out. It's a girl rock group. We're like, okay, all right, this is different.
Yeah.
Then after that, there's this rock group that comes out and we didn't know who they were. And everyone starts mashing and everything.
Really?
We're like, oh, whoa, what is this? You know, we fighting this stuff.
Yeah.
That rock group that came out was Rage Against the Machine when they first came out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know anything about them. And we're like, oh, and the music wasn't too bad either.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, Cypress Hill comes out. They got this big blunt on the stage and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. But that was fun. That was my first one. Then I've also seen Outkast in concert.
That's cool.
And Wu-Tang.
Wow. When was that Cypress Hill concert about?
That was probably about, I want to say about 91, 92. That was like right before, when their second album, Black Sunday, came out.
Okay.
Right when Insane in the Brain came out.
Yeah. Where was that?
That was in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
Back home.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So was it a big venue? I'm guessing without those people?
No, not really. The venue that they had was this place called the Orb Room. And the Orb Room was actually like a dance club.
Okay.
During those points in time, it's so crazy. Like, they don't have too many of these anymore. But when we were kids, like, they had like big old dance rooms.
Yeah.
They seem big, where everyone would come and dance and stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, man, like there was no problems. Like, girls would just be dancing all over dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes dancing all over girls, vice versa.
Yeah.
It's like how you seen, like, in the videos back in the day.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty much how it was.
Yeah.
So I grew up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like a little, it was like a bar pretty much, but it was like a two-layer bar. Like, there was, you know, there's like a second story and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we went mostly and we seen stuff like that.
So what's your favorite concert you've been to?
My favorite concert? That's crazy that you were at. Probably my very first concert I went to with my dad. And he took me to see Zepp and Roger.
Okay.
And that was in the 80s. And that would have been like probably like late 80s, 87 or something like okay. that. And that was my very first concert. That would have been my favorite. And we went to what was called the DeVos Theater. And that's usually like where they have like opera singers and
okay.
stuff like
okay.
that.
But and the sound's probably good in there.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I was like a kid, and this was like my favorite group at that time.
Yeah.
As far as like a funk group.
Yeah.
And they had them, and it was so funny because Roger, rest in peace to him, when he came out and he was like fully clothed,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing the talk box thing,
mm-hmm.
which is like so, it was like just so crazy to see that live. And then during the concert, he's taking off all his clothes and he's down to his jock strap and everything. It's so funny, but I was a kid. It'd be like the music was so good.
Though. Yeah.
But that was my favorite concert. I've been to a few since then, but that's my favorite.
So we talked about a lot of, you know, influence on you and some concerts you've been to. What kind of music do you make and how do you think it's kind of maybe different than some people who do similar stuff?
Mostly what I make, I try to mix it up a little bit because I have such a different verse of background of music.
Yeah.
So, like, when I started listening to music, it was mostly back 70s music. So, it was, like, funk and disco and stuff. Mm. And then, like, when I started learning music, I started learning, like, folk music. And then, and of course, hip-hop came along, which is kind of a mixture of all those styles. Then
right.
you also have, like, R&B, which I also listen to. And then you have other styles that have grown out of all of those cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I try to encompass, like, a little bit of everything. I feel like me as an artist, like, there's no grounds I can't touch as long as I'm true about what I'm doing.
Right.
So, like, to give an example, like, my first album that I did was a jazz album.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Yeah.
That was like some crazy work right there. Then the next album I did was a techno album.
Okay.
And that was, both of those albums I did, they were back in about 2006, 2007 or something like
okay.
that. And then on has been mostly all hip hop and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't feel like, as far as an artist, one thing I like to do is start, as far as me staying independent, is just I have so much freedom to do anything.
Yeah.
Why not take advantage of all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, try different stuff. See what you
right,
like.
Right, exactly. Most of the time, like, when you do it from home, it gives you so much freedom to do it on the time frame that you want to.
Right.
Like, sometimes you may have a song that sits for, like, years and you really can't think of anything. And then all of a sudden, like, one night, 8 years later, something comes to you. You're like,
yeah.
ah, this is what I need. And you get it done, like, in a day.
Yeah.
And that's, like, sometimes how it rolls sometimes.
Are there any newer artists, at least in the last, like, 5 years that... you like or you see potential in?
Definitely. As far as new artists that who are mainstream right now,
yeah.
like I've always liked J. Cole.
Yeah.
Always liked J. Cole. I like I don't care what anybody says. I like Cardi B. Cardi B
okay.
is fun. You know what I mean, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
It's like a girl too short to me. That's how. That's how I view it.
She has some skill, but it's a lot about the presentation. And the consistency, and yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's for. It's for a certain audience. Like,
yeah.
her stuff is like strip club music.
And the girls, the audience specifically catering to the females, was kind of lacking. I mean, it's still lacking, but it was really
still,
lacking
it's
before.
It's still lacking, but like, not as much as anymore.
So. Yeah, and she inspires. I mean, when I was working at the studio in Cincinnati, so many girls that came in, they literally said that they were inspired by Cardi B to try this song. Like, I never know the song, but like this Cardi B song got me going. Or,
exactly.
That's cool.
Like, as far as her views on anything, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so some of that stuff is probably bad. But
yeah.
Like, everyone has bad views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how I view it. Like, you're talking to somebody who used to be a stripper for a living.
Yeah.
And because I've known strippers who have done stuff for a living, all that stuff I can relate to that she talks about.
Yeah.
Because I've already heard it before.
Yeah.
I think most people get pissed off about that kind of lifestyle. Like
influence on people and stuff.
Yeah. They don't really understand that kind of life.
Yeah.
So, like, when you come from an urban area and you have people in different areas of life that which you can speak on, you kind of get it.
Yeah. And it's not like, I mean, she really did that. It's, to me, it matters. Like, I don't care what you're rapping about, to be honest. I mean, I do think at some point she does have a cultural impact. So not that like she needs to stop doing what she's doing or change how she's doing it, but it is something to consider as a listener, like, because it is a cultural impact when you get to that level of mainstream. But, you know, like Snoop Dogg selling crack, girl, you know, making money at like 19 years old. I mean, he tells you that story. He's like, $1,500 a night. How was I supposed to turn that down? Was I going to go do work at the corner store for what?
Right.
Paying
exactly.
$3 an hour at that time?
Exactly. And just the whole idea of being a gangster. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not stuff that you're supposed to talk about. But these are the things that are real in the real world.
He really did it. Now, if you pretend to do that, you talk about it and you didn't really live it, that's when I can't connect to it. Not to say I can personally connect to him being a gangster, but I appreciate his music and I'll give it a chance if it feels authentic, and it really is because you know their stories. So
Right. And that's the thing with hip hop is like, and here's the thing, it's such a double-edged sword. So you have people who are like Snoop and like Cardi.
Yeah.
And they actually rapped about stuff that they've lived.
Yeah.
Then you also have people who are like Slick Rick, who explain, who tell a story, or like people like Ice Cube who tell a story.
Mm.
It's not really them. They haven't been in those situations, but they've been around people who've been in those situations.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's like a kind of like a double-sided thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just depends on how authentic it feels. You know what I mean? Like, if you've been in a situation, you can kind of connect to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you can tell if somebody's being authentic about it or not.
Right. Or like, I mean, like the whole For Your Eyes Only album by J. Cole and doing it like, you know, from the friend's perspective and using his, I mean, I think that was really cool. I don't dislike it because it wasn't all him, but it was real and it makes sense. And at least once you start to understand the story, then you connect to it deeper. Sometimes maybe more than if it was really his story because he went and does this for his friend. I was just mixing a song. I finished it today.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Josh's Song. It's for a guy down in Middletown. This group of guys, one of their friends died, and they made a song. And at the end, they use a voicemail. And I was able to really clean up the voicemail, get the noise out and stuff. So I liked the whole song, but I sent him just a voicemail isolated because, like, I know that means something to him. And that guy, the guy who had died's girlfriend at the time and stuff like that. So, you know, like, there is something to say for doing those things, even if, like, you know, because they're talking about stuff that he used to do and stuff. It's not like it's their life, but it's connected. So sometimes you feel that more because sometimes humans are able to express emotions they have for other people or things about those other people better than themselves. And, it kind of takes a certain, you really have to kind of like sit back and reflect differently if you're trying to talk about your own story.
Right.
And I'll say one is better or worse.
Right. Versus talking about somebody else.
Sometimes it's easier to put into words like when you're talking about something else. But either way, if it's real and it's like, you know, but like if you had a totally different life and you're going to talk about this or you're from a different country and you're talking about growing up here, I mean, to me, that's kind of already you're losing some people's interest off the bat. So you can't expect, because I think a lot of it's just kind of copycat game, right?
Right.
Well, Snoop talks about doing this. Now I liked his music. I'm going to do that. Instead of thinking I liked his music, I want to try a beat similar to his, but let me try my own style.
Right.
And that's kind of where your creative, a lot of times that's just more younger artists or a little bit more amateur artists. But when they develop more, they start to think, I want to put my own touch on it. I want to be me. Or I don't want to just crank the auto-tune and do exactly what somebody else did. Mm-hmm. It does work for Lil Wayne. He does rap with the auto-tune, but not everybody can
do exactly what he does.
There's a reason why they got that. Or like Travis Scott, people come in here all the time and be like, man, I just want you to make me sound like Travis. I'm like, Travis sounds like Travis because he's Travis.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because
exactly, because that's his voice.
Yeah, and he knows what he's doing. He's also been designing that sound for a long time.
Exactly. I view it like this, and like people always get mad at me when I talk about this. It's like, this is really all entertainment.
Yeah.
And sometimes entertainment, and I don't know why hip-hop is always put a realm of being real, of like everything is completely 100% real.
Right.
Like, probably like, oh, like say for instance, for Nas, for instance, like I can connect to his stories, but he hasn't done everything that he's talking about.
Yeah.
Most of that stuff is what he's seen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can hear about it, and you can explain it a little bit better. Mm. It's almost like reading the Bible. Now, I hate to get in religion, but it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, everything in the Bible is not to be taken for word. It's sometimes, some right. of that stuff is allegory. Mm. So sometimes you're supposed to just get the point. Mm. It's supposed to just
be a way of telling you a lesson or something.
Right, exactly. So, like, say for instance, like, in the Bible, they take out a whole portion of it because it's about monsters and dragons and all this kind of stuff. But it was originally there. And the reason why they took it out, because they're like, people ain't going to get this remix.
Right, you're going to lose some people.
You're going to lose some people, and they ain't gonna get it.
Yeah.
So to sharpen it up, they're like, yo, let's take this out and just make this about this.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But it's the same thing with entertainment as anything else. But yeah, like any story that you've heard from hip-hop, so say, for instance, the message like I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Grandmaster Melly Mel didn't go through all that stuff that he talked about in that song.
Right.
He probably didn't see all of it, but he's heard about it. These are stories that happened in this area where this city where he's came up and that are passed around.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with passing around stories. You know what I mean? It's just the way that you do it.
Yeah.
And like you said, everyone has a different voice and a different way that they do it.
Yeah.
That is the authentic part. It's like, are you doing it authentic to yourself?
Yeah. If you're not telling true stories and you're copying someone's flow and you didn't even get your own beat, I mean, it's like, what are you really doing here? Exactly. What are you actually doing? You might as well just do a cover. I mean,
right.
You know, so.
That's a lot of things. Like a lot of people who are new, they want to do music so much, like, and they are really fans to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all are fans to begin with.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, with hip-hop, there is a guidance of where you should start, usually.
Yeah.
Not saying all the time, but there's a guidance of where you should start.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's why people who are old school say, like, you should start with this and then grow into this. Mm-hmm. Because when you start at this point, you understand, like, oh, okay, this is what they're actually talking about versus, you know what I mean, like, what actually happened.
Right.
Sometimes they make stuff sound so real, but it's not. Mm. Like, you could get on anybody. So, say, for instance, like the Too Short thing.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Blowjob Betty and all this other kind of stuff. These are not really all things that he's happened to him. He's not, like, really a pimp in real life or nothing like that. But he explains it through those people.
Yeah.
When he started out making music for those people. They would tell him stories and sit down to him, and he'd be like, okay. So this is how I'm going to personify it.
Right.
It's the same thing with hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I think, like you were saying, it's different with hip-hop. I've said this to a few people, but, you know, if this is a different genre, like country respects songwriters so much, they have a Hall of Fame for songwriters.
Exactly.
There's not going to be one for hip-hop. I don't think ever. Because they bury that. Like, so Travis Scott's album, you might think, oh, it's pretty simple. He wrote it all. There's like 35 writers on Astroworld.
Yes.
And it's that simple. It might be that he was going so maybe more sophisticated with it, like, no, you got to dumb this down. You're going to have to keep the flow with four syllables per line, something like that.
Right.
And so it's interesting to me because there's more writers in a lot of simpler music. And like Drake was getting a lot of backlash because there was a whole ghostwriter thing going around. Mm-hmm. And it's like you have to have secret ghostwriters. You can't have real writers in hip hop. Nobody has songwriters. And to me, that's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, anybody on a label, they're not just putting out what they want to put out. Best case, they go send it to somebody to listen to, and he says, you know, you're going to talk more about this. This isn't quite relevant enough.
Well, it's just that the game has changed. Like, before, what would happen is, you know, probably pre-2000.
Yeah.
Pretty much mostly everyone did write their own stuff.
Right.
and you would have some kind of input. But yeah. Now the things are different because there's a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
So now it becomes just like anything else that is musically or in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
So to make the best product, and we'll even just put it on label as product, to make the best product, you want to have the best things, and you want to have people who can write different pieces for you.
Right.
There's nothing really wrong with that.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, so say for instance with Drake thing, Drake is a good example. So yeah. Like, say for instance, let's say he can't freestyle. Who cares?
Yeah.
He makes good songs. Can't lie.
Yeah.
Everyone dances to him. You put that on, you can damn sure dance with a girl at some point in time when yeah. that song comes on. Yeah. That's what it's made for.
Yeah.
Is he any less real because he can't or he doesn't? I don't want to say he can't, but he doesn't write a whole song by himself. No. Right. It's just a matter of perspective.
Right.
So, like, and same thing with, like, Kanye West. Kanye West, like, I think one of his albums, he had, like, about the same thing, like, 30 writers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always gives credit to multiple people for writing songs. But yeah. that is the business of songwriting.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. See, like, now you're in the business.
Yeah.
So since you're in the business now, you want to work with other people because when you're working with other people, they can help you get to a different league or... it's just part of business.
Right.
You know, just or begin. Both. Or both. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's, you know what I mean? People can say that you sold out or any kind of thing like that. No, it's really just business.
Yeah.
Like, so say for instance, if I write a song and I'm like, I call you, I'm like, hey, I need help with this hook.
Yeah.
And you give me help with a hook. You're going to get your writer's credits for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it maybe, but you're going to be on it
yeah.
because you should have, rightfully, you should have a piece of that money.
Right.
That is how that goes. And the thing is, like, if you're writing, and especially with when you're young and you're doing it, you want to, like, you have, a lot of influence. You get a writer's block real fast sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, ask your friend right next to you, hey, what should I say here?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a writer just like you a writer.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you differentiate it. It's just done differently.
Yeah.
In Nashville, where they have songwriters for everything,
yeah,
everybody gets a cut.
Yeah.
It's just done more professionally than it is for hip hop.
And more respected. I feel like nobody knows what your real job is if you're a songwriter in hip hop. Like
exactly.
I don't think they even want you going around saying, yeah, you know, I wrote that song for Drake. You know what I mean?
I think that's on the way of changing.
Yes, I agree.
Because the thing is, people are seeing now, like, there's different arenas for hip-hop.
Right.
There are
sub-genres of hip-hop, really.
Right. Like, hip-hop is getting to be more expansive.
Yeah.
So you have people who just write everything.
Yeah.
So, like, say, for instance, I would go in that category. Mm-hmm. Like, I write all my own stuff and do all my stuff.
Yeah.
Not on purpose. It just happens like that.
Yeah.
And then you have people who, like, have a team of writers.
Yeah.
And me, outside looking in, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course right. they have a team of writers. You should have a team of writers. You want right. to have the best product that comes out. And not to mention, you know how much money be on the line? You yeah. got a label coming in, and you got management. And you have a whole team of people, and you got to pay. Of course you want the best product because
yeah.
they're relying on you to put the best thing out that you can do.
Yeah.
So you can't be like, no, this goes against my values. Those values right. ain't going to pay at the end of the day.
Right.
Like, not for a song. Just do it. It's just a song.
Yeah. I think it's cool because I get why people sort of do that transition into more help or more of a mainstream sound or more mainstream type lyrics. I always say the fact is that most people are, well, it's sad to say, but most people are kind of dumb. So if you make music that's really sophisticated all the time, people might respect you, but that now your market
exactly.
is sliver.
Your market is a sliver of
and that's
anything.
It. Everybody likes you in that sliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got a small piece of the pie, maybe 1% of hip-hop fans that might, at this point, want to listen to you.
And then, like, say, for instance, like, so you writing everything, you have this 1% sliver. What happens when the style of hip-hop changes?
Yeah.
And then you don't want to change because you hard-headed.
Yeah.
And then your 1% turns into a 0.5%.
Yeah, some people are going to still respect you didn't change, but that doesn't get you paid. That doesn't buy you a house. That doesn't, you know what I mean? That doesn't get you in the studio. That just gets you the street cred that people think that it's just not what it was.
And to add, so that is what mixtapes are for.
Yeah.
So say, for instance, if you want to do some stuff like, besides, like, you want to have, like, complete free creative control and just write your own stuff.
Yeah.
Do a mixtape.
Yeah.
That's what that should be for.
Yeah.
And then when you come through, when you're an artist in the game and you have a publisher and you have a label and you have all these other things and you're part of it, you don't really have to do any of that. You have a choice. Right. But you are part of a business and you have to have that business mentality to understand that. You can make the business right. work for you or you can make it work against you. Either way.
Right.
But you have to understand how the game works. Take the songwriters and get the help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That way, you don't have to think that hard. You can go and chill.
Be
and,
just the artist.
And be just the artist.
It's a different, whole different, I mean, like.
You have so much weight off of you when you
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, like, you know, like, man, if you produce and then you record, you engineer, you're also the artist. The songwriter, it's not like it's like, I like doing all the aspects because you can put a creative touch on every step. But at the same time, it's totally different when I have somebody engineer me.
Your load is so heavy. And, yeah. I'll tell you, from years of doing that, your load is so heavy because everything relies on every. You start overthinking your decisions. Yeah. And then what happens is you don't put anything out.
Yep.
So then when you do put something out, you're like halfway about it because you're like, maybe I can change this. Maybe I can change this.
Could have been better.
Could have been better. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a freedom of just like, I'm just going to do this. And this is my own little part that I have to do with it.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to, you know what I mean? It is a good thing. And a lot of people disagree with me for that, especially people who are my age. But the thing is, reality sets in when it comes down to music. It's a job. Mm. If you're an artist and you're getting paid for it, it's a job. If you don't want to get paid for it and do it, that's fine. And do all your aspects. You can be like me and not get paid all the time for it.
Yeah.
But if I was to transition over to where I'm working for a label or even if I'm getting like 10,000 fans or something like that,
yeah,
I have to keep up. Mm-hmm. And for me to keep up, you have to take some of that load off of yourself because you have to stay like in a mental space of doing.
Yeah, it affects the creative mindset.
Right. And that slows you down like times 100.
Yeah.
Times 100. You just make it easy. Don't make it hard. Just make it easy.
Figure out what works for you. I mean, there's a lot of cool ways to help you get distribution and I've never used them, but there's sites, you know, that offer mixing and mastering and stuff like that. You can always send it to someone and you can record it, figure out how you can work within your budget, but also your creative space. And because like a lot of my artists, I envy them because maybe they make some beats and they write and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they have no interest in learning engineering. They're like, man, that shit looks complicated. I don't want to. And like half of me is like, man, like that. Like, no, I want you to learn some terms so we can talk about, you talking about this EQ or, you know what I mean? Because sometimes they'll say reverb and then mean EQ and I'm like, that's so far off. I don't even know what you're asking me until I like go back and figure it out. And it's just waste time. So to communicate, like, it's good to like know the terminology if you're not going to learn the gear or the software or the mics or whatever. But, you know, I understand and respect because I feel like they can kind of transcend as an artist faster because they're not also trying to learn 3 new DAWs. And what's the newest plugin out? And, you know, I mean, because it's a lot.
And not to mention that, so just the regular engineering stuff as far as, like, decibels and levels and lufs and, you know what I mean, all the other stuff that, like, me and you have talked about before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't nobody have no interest in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, sometimes you just want to come in. So, say, for instance, there are a lot of people who do beats.
Yeah.
Like,
especially nowadays.
Yeah, especially nowadays. They don't want to know about EQing or nothing like that.
Right.
Like, it helps for them to know. Yeah. But if they're going to churn out 100 beats per day or per week or something like that, it's better for them maybe to have somebody else make it sound better.
Right. Or they just use the same samples and they're already mixed samples. And
exactly. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's not like
it's just a different way of creating.
It's a different way. And that's the thing. Like, hip hop has gotten so huge. There's so many different ways to do it.
Right.
It's not like this whole purity thing of coming in and you being this. You can if you want to. But on the larger scale of things, you have so many different options. You should use those options.
So do you have any final messages for people listening, creators? Specifically music creators. Yeah.
Just keep your load light. I've been making music for 20 years and my load has been very heavy. I've worked with people and by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you want to keep your load light. Just if you can take an easier step to do something, it's not like sacrilegious. For right. people who just listen to music and who's listening or who just like to be entertained, like, don't have this whole holier-than-thou thing about hip-hop. Hip-hop is a music like everything else. Mm-hmm. And everything that people who in hip-hop don't talk about is exactly not real. It's sometimes it's a story. And it's just like my kids. You should get something out of it by listening. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just purely for your entertainment. You have to decide which is which.
Definitely. I like that message to go off of. Appreciate you coming in and featuring on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to the Up Next podcast. Like and share the podcast, if you would be so kind. Have a great Friday, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All right.
Up Next podcast.